This is Sunday morning, February the 10th, 2019. And the title of this message is, Are You Meditating or Medicating? Meditating or Medicating? I tell you today, faith is not a struggle. The Lord does not want us to struggle. He wants us to rest. We can walk in resurrection power even while we're still in our bodies. That's what the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Paul said that. He wants us to walk in resurrection power even while in this body, not when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. So what do we do with the nasty now and now? Okay, Joshua 1:8. Okay, where's Joshua? There you are. This is going to be teaching. God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall deal wisely and have good success. The word meditate here means to murmur or to ponder, to imagine, to mutter, to speak, to take, or to utter. Brother Hagin used to say it's like a cow chewing the cud. You know, you can sit down and read your confessions and it can be like you're reading nursery rhymes. Or like the Lord told Danny, you're praying the rosary. It's about as powerful as nothing. No power in it. But taking a piece of God's word, even a part of a scripture, and chewing, Ever savor food? You eat it so slow that you get everything out of it. You know, a lot of times in our fast society, we eat fast and we don't really enjoy our food. It's just get it down, get on about our business. But to really stop and savor something that's really delicious, just to bite and just chew on it and chew on it and chew on it, that's the way it is to meditate in God's Word. You take a scripture, and you're just thinking about it, and you're just pondering it, and you're kind of just it's rolling around in your mind. You're kind of uttering it. And I was talking to you about scripture songs, that how powerful they are and how great they are for meditation. Because it's like it just rolls around in you. God told Joshua that if he would learn to meditate on God's word, he would be a success. Now, I'm here to tell you today, any kind of healing and things usually that I've gotten from the Lord, meditation had a play in it. It just takes confession to the next level. It's good to confess your word. You learn your word that way. It gets implanted in you that way. But it's instead of putting the emphasis on how long I do it or how much I do it, it's not about that. It's about what are you getting out of it? I've eaten this whole table of food, but I'm not satisfied. I didn't get anything out of it. It's like a table full of Brussels sprouts. Instead of, boy, that chocolate cake looks really good. You see what I'm saying here? Just a nugget. Something just hangs in you. It just keeps coming up. You keep thinking about it. Faith is not a long, drawn-out struggle where you are just so worn out that you don't enjoy anything. Can I get an amen on that one? So many are that way. They're just so wore out. Just struggling all the time. It's not supposed to be that way. Proverbs 4. I put Proverbs 40. Lord, is there a new book somewhere that I don't know about? Proverbs 4. Verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. For the life to those that find them, hidden in flesh to all their flesh." So this kind of attention is meditation. It's something that keeps your attention. All right, attend here means to prick up the ears. I think about a little dog. Or to hearken. Psalms 91 talks about dwelling. To me, this is meditation. This is our dwelling place. Okay, let's look over there. 91. He that dwells. We sang that this morning. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. Then, you know, when all this is going on in the mind, you're dwelling, then you begin to say, this is like a rhema. That's exactly what it is. He's dwelling. God's word is just dwelling in it. Man, that's where he's camping out with God and what God's saying. Then he starts saying these things. How he killed the lion and the bear. Okay, dwell means to sit down. I remember being in the gym, and I remember one Sunday morning, I saw myself come in, and I had on this beautiful shimmery gown with ermine collar and a crown. And Father and Jesus were sitting up there, and they said, "We've been waiting for you. Where you been? Come dwell. Come sit." See, we're seated with him in heavenly places. Dwelling. Dwelling's where you live. Not where you run by. Give me a fast food promise, Lord. Well, we had our scripture for the day, be on about our business. And we just struggle. Okay. To sit down. It means to sit down. Like when you come to visit somebody and you just breeze in and say, "Well, I just want to say hi. See you later." No, you come in to sit down. Let's visit. Visit. Psalms 119. Verse 97. "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies." See, after he's meditated all day, then what's going to come out of him? If you're a dweller, you've got them scriptures going on in your mind all the time, then this stuff is going to come out of you. "You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. For your words are ever before me." You're not going to be saying what the enemy's doing. What's before you? God's word. "I have better understanding and deeper insight than all my teachers, because your testimonies are my meditation." Get what I'm saying here today? "I understand more than the aged, because I keep your precepts." This is all about meditation, every one of these scriptures. "I've restrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep your word. I've not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste." I'm chewing it. I'm chewing the cud. Yum, yum, yum. Lord, your word is so good. Yum, 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 yum. "Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I've sworn an oath and have confirmed it that I'll keep your righteous ordinances." Meditation. Talking about somebody that dwells there, feed needs on it. There's a difference in, my son attended my word, calling thine ears unto my saying, I did my confession, go about my business. You'd do better to take one scripture, part of a scripture, and just sing it. Let it get in you. Dwell in it. I'm telling you, it's a higher form. It's a higher way. Anytime I get into that mode with something, I see something happen. One time I was on a, was coming back from Dallas, and, you know, 3 years ago I fell and hurt my arm, my foot and my arm. And for 8 months, I couldn't really do anything but hold my arm to my side. And I remember Dana took me to a bird place, and I had my binoculars, and I couldn't even lift my binoculars up to look. And I remember coming home, I just kind of just laid on my side, I think, and I just was praying in the Spirit, and I would imagine my arm being used, by the way, being used. I imagined that. Well, it was real hard to wash my hair, and I came home, and I bent over the sink, and I moved my arm, and my arm moved where I hadn't been able to move before. What's going on here? Only imagine. Think about the song. You know, we were made in the image of God. Do you think he didn't imagine what he created? It says the Spirit of the Lord was hovering, brooding over that dark place. What's that? Meditation. God was thinking about it. And then he spoke. I know Brother Hagin. He was on a deathbed for about 15 months. And he said for the longest time, he would imagine himself going to the funeral home, going into the church, seeing the service, putting his coffin in the hearse, going to the cemetery, throwing the dirt on his coffin. He'd imagine this kind of stuff. Until a light come on and began to imagine himself up preaching the word and up doing these things. It got him up off that bed. Mark 11:22-23 and 24 got him up off of that bed. When everybody said he had to die, all the doctors said, there's no hope. The dweller says, etc. Do you confess every day, lay down your Bible and go on your way and not give it another thought until you get home? Is that the pattern? That's just a rut. You're not a dweller, and you'll probably not see many results or much results. Confession can be just a fast food spiritual restaurant. Give me a Big Mac promise today, Lord. I'm in a hurry. The dweller clamps on the word of God like a helmet. It's part of our attire. We don't leave home without it. It's like the American Express card. Ephesians 6. Verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. The dweller clamps on the Word of God like a helmet. When you really want to hone in on something and shut out everything else, what do? Like you put your spiritual earphones in. You want to hear just what God has to say. That's what you do when you kind of want to just sit back and listen to music or listen to something. You put your earphones in and just kind of rear back. Okay? Confessing God's word is a start, but it is only a part of it. That's how we all began, and it is a beginning. One scripture or part of a scripture that is dwelt upon or meditated on will work. Change where months of just confession has done nothing. Because confession is usually just logos, written word. But meditation becomes rhema. Makes it alive in you, real in you, where you see what God sees. God already says yes, whatever you're asking him for. Okay, meditation brings rhema. I believe this is how Paul was a success amidst all the trials that he had. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. Well, verse 10 really tells the story. We'll go to verse 10. He says here that I may know him. How do you get to really get to know somebody? By dwelling with them? That I may know him. Become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. And that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed to his death. That if possible, I may attain to the resurrection out from among the dead. Amplified says, even while in the body. He says, now that I have not attained or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold and make my own that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me and made me his own. So he's talking about he's in a process of learning to be a dweller and to walk in resurrection power while he's still here. That's what he taught us. Okay. Lifting you out of circumstances. This is heaven on earth. This is that earnest, if you will, earnest money. You put down earnest money on a house. This is that little bit of heaven that's been deposited in us to help us walk in that resurrection life while we're still here before we do get to be there all the time. Every time I do this, I see results. Not once in a while, but every time. Every single time I set my mind to meditate, I see a change. An arm that wouldn't move and that was stiff moved. Right here, chew means to crush, grind, or gnaw, masticate. You chew it till you can't get nothing else out of it. Bite off a piece of God's word, chew it until it is masticated. You will see results. It will make you a success just like Joshua. This is big boy church. This is big boy church. This is the way the mature people do it. This is the ones that you see that you envy and wish you could be like. This is how they get the results they get. Okay. John, 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way, may keep well, even as your soul keeps well and prospers. Soul prosperity. When that soul prospers, your body will show it. Soul prosperity equals health and wealth. If you're preoccupied with God's word by meditating, the devil can't get a word in edgewise. If you're dwelling with God and dwelling in his word and you're preoccupied with that, the devil's not going to be able to snatch your attention away. Satan tries to get you to think on your symptoms, to cause you to be occupied with them. Turn it around on him. This is your spiritual warfare. This is what it's talking about, 2 Corinthians 10 through 5. Turn there. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. See, we were talking about a couple weeks ago, or maybe even last week, about the stronghold of the Lord. The only strongholds there are not just Satan's strongholds. God is building a stronghold in our minds. We talked about that one that has his house swept clean, and here comes spirits back to get in there, and he ends up seven times worse than before because he didn't put something in it. He didn't replace the emptiness with God's word. That's what we're talking about here. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, refuting arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So we are combating in our minds. We have a stronghold of the Lord that is combating what the enemy's bringing against us. This is how we do warfare. So when we're a dweller, God's word is dwelling in us, we have on the helmet of salvation, then Satan is not going to be able to get our attention off of God's word in our dwelling place and onto the symptom of what we're experiencing. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. All right. I forgot to bring... I was going to read a page out of Health Food, but I forgot to bring it, so I guess I won't read it. Okay, Brother Hagin was notorious for talking about this very thing. He talks about a lady. She was an Assembly of God preacher, and she was 82 years old, and she was dying of stomach cancer, stomach all swollen up, and laying on this bed, and she'd say, Brother Hagin, just leave me alone and let me die. I'm ready to go. And he said, I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to do it. So he told her to begin to see her body well. Well, a space of time passed, and he was at a meeting at his tape table, and this lady comes in, and she runs up and hugs him, and he just kind of like, who are you? And come to find out, it was this woman. And he said, she looks so young and pretty, I didn't even recognize her. And he said, after she told me who she was, I grabbed her and started hugging her. But she said, I laid there, Brother Hagin, I did what you said. I began to see my stomach flat. I began to see myself well. And here she was in her 90s going to go out and be preaching. You know, she's just, he said, you know, if you want to die, die right. But get well first. Get well, and then if you want to go, go right. Don't die like this. Mm-hmm. Don't let Satan do this to you. She did it by imagining. Mm-hmm. Now, I know, because I know you, you let the devil take you down all kinds of trails of imagination that you don't want, so don't you tell me you can't get on the Lord's train and imagine things he wants you to do. We've got to learn to close them doors on him and say, oh, no, I'm not going down that road. I know what the word says. That's the road I'm staying on. That's the word. That's the road that gets results. Okay. It takes it from logos, written, mental consent, to rhema, living, active, and accomplishing. Hebrews 4:12. Now, God speaks rhemas. When God speaks, it's a rhema. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life and the spirit of joints and marrow, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. So God's word is alive. What does that word that's alive do? It pushes out anything else. It will expose Satan's soulishness, that stuff he brings at you to try to trick you and get you off your stand. You just can't let him. You just got to, you stay in that word, you'll see it. You have been made in God's image. Only imagine. Right here, imagine means to form a mental image. See yourself doing that thing you can't do. Or you haven't been able to do. God's word brings you, or your mental image, your health, your wealth, your wisdom, and your peace. We go to God's word and find out what his word has to say about what we're seeing, what we're experiencing. And we hone in, we get our imagination going in that direction, and that is what we see. That's what meditation does. Okay, refuse Satan's mental images of you, sickness, poverty, lack, and confusion. Be a dweller. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and I will say of the Lord. Heaven on earth, it's resurrection power to walk in while you're here, still in your body, the only place to be. All right, Romans 8. These are a couple of my favorites. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and death. Well, I was talking about earlier about all the things that we hear about that all the ugly people have done. Well, this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from that law of sin and death. Verse 11, and the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal body by the Spirit who dwells in you. I'm going to tell Kathy Walters' story. Kathy Walters, she's a bit different. I remember her telling the story that she was fixing to leave for somewhere where she had a 10-hour flight. And she broke out all over in this rash. And her husband said, well, maybe you ought to run to the doctor and see what it is. So she did, and this man says, well, you've got shingles. And in 5 months, you'll suffer for 5 months. She said, I won't. And he said, and then this time you'll break out and this will happen. And she said, I won't. I shan't, is what she said. She's English. She said, I got on that plane. I prayed in the spirit the whole 10 hours. They kept asking me if I wanted a glass of wine. She was like a cat on a hot tin roof, walking around, praying in the spirit. They thought she's a nutcase, and she's got this weird-looking hair anyway, kind of Mary Poppins looking. They probably thought, woo, this lady's weird, you know, to try to calm her down, give her wine. But when she landed, 10 hours later, it was gone. What was she doing? She is dwelling. She is focusing in on that, praying in the spirit, thinking, I won't have this. I don't care what the doctor says I have to have. I'm not having it. Okay. This is the problem in the body of Christ. They would rather medicate than meditate. It's just too much trouble. It's easier to pop my pills. Oh, I can see that going over big. Thank you, Lord. There's a book by Malcolm Smith? It's called How I Learned to Meditate. We do it all the time and don't even realize we're doing it. The problem is we're usually doing it in the negative. Or we're just thinking about something else, maybe that doesn't really amount to a hill of beans. Maybe something we're wanting to buy. We're thinking about it. We're imagining it over there in that place. It's natural for us to do this. This isn't something new. It's just that we have been raised to do it in other ways, but not in what really counts, what really makes a difference. It's no different than an architect imagining a building or a decorator imagining how it looks to arrange a room or a dressmaker thinking about a design. They're giving thought and they're pondering. We do it all the time concerning our work, concerning other things. So we get in a habit of doing this kind of thing we'll have a lot less problem with the devil and what he has to say. We'll just inch him out. Isn't that the goal? Isn't that what a dweller does? Just honed in on God and what his word says, and we don't hear anything else. Now, I've been talking about, you know, earlier about hearing the truth, and God does want us to hear the truth. He does want us to be relevant in our time. He does want us to know what's going on in our world so he can use us to change it. And maybe some of that meditation would come in good on some of these instances, don't you think? Mm-hmm. Imagine a world where there's no abortion. Imagine a world where there's no sickness. Imagine school districts where everyone's a Christian and teaches the Word of God. Imagine programming that there is no vileness on it. TV show that you can actually sit down and enjoy. Isn't that how he said we were supposed to go? Come on, let's go to Genesis. Genesis 1:27. This is how God made everything. He was imagining it, and he spoke it. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves upon the earth. And said, see, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the land, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to all animals on the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the ground, to everything in which there is the breath of life. I've given every green plant for food. And it was so, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And he proved it completely, and there was evening, and there was morning, and the sixth day. So God gave this earth for us to go and make it bigger. God never intended for him to stay in a little garden. He meant for him to fill the whole earth with what he had created out of the mind of God. See, when you meditate, you get God's mind on things, and when you speak those things, they happen. So I would encourage you, start checking yourselves when you start having problems. Get a scripture, a piece of a scripture. Get a song. Whatever's going to keep your attention. And start using it. Start learning to meditate. I think you'll see results. Yeah.